Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Rick?
Yeah.
$1.99 Fred Meyer everyday low price.
And this is a gallon you're talking about.
1 gallon, 2% milk, $1.99 everyday Fred Meyer low price.
Well, where was
and
that one
bread?
Guy?
The yeah. bread on sale, $2 for $4.
I can't believe we're doing this on the air. All right, thank you, sir.
Have a happy day.
Thank you. I can't. Okay, but where is that one guy then saying that milk was like $2.70 for a half gallon? This makes no sense to me. These milk prices don't make any sense.
How much is cornstarch?
I want to buy some Bosco. How much can I expect to pay? Sir, please to be pointing me to your 20 Mule Team Borax and your dry goods aisle. Pardon me, good man. Where are your sundries? Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Okay. One more.
Hey.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
What's going on?
Hey.
Well, yeah, milk around here is like $2, but you got to understand, Giuliani's in New York. They don't have an abundance of fields of cows there. So milk is going to be, well, everything's more expensive there. It's at least $4 or $5.
Is that true? Does milk cost more on the East Coast, Tim,
if you're in
New York? Well, except for Central Park.
I guess
wouldn't be any cows
you
there.
Can't graze cows there.
All in right. Miami, it's like $4 a gallon. Here, it's $1.98, so...
Interesting.
So bigger.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Yes?
Well, also, well, I don't know why it brings up the subject of anybody really caring, like, when people are sarcastic and they say, stop asking me about the price of milk in China. But all right. Late.
Yeah. Yeah, what you said. So what is the equivalent?
There is more room for cows to graze here than other places.
That actually begs the question, what is the equivalent... What is the Pacific Northwest equivalent to milk in New York? In other words, if milk is extra expensive in New York than on a fields, what's really cheap in New York that's expensive here, if anything?
Crack.
There you go. Crack. Yes. Whores.
Don't need fields to raise that.
Whores.
Hose.
Don't say hose.
I'm thinking of a garden hose.
I don't wish for any of this to be suspended, Tim Riley.
Stockings.
Hose. Control top hose.
I have a hole in my hose, and I'm going to the...
Do you really?
Yeah.
You have a hole in your hose? Is that true?
How's your woodcock doing? Oh, my darling little woodcock.
Goes right in my hose hole. Why, hello.
Do we have Jim at 105 or 135?
We have Jim at 105, any second now.
We might as well just wait.
Yeah.
It's 503-733. This guy says, can add to milk comments. Hurrah. Hello, sir.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to agree with Sarah. I pay $1.99 usually at gas stations, but I have to milk it myself usually.
Okay.
But,
okay.
But I can get it for that rate. So Sarah's right, man. Sorry.
Well, okay. I'm not... I guess I was saying she was wrong, but I've just never seen that. All right. Thank you. That's Mark. Scotty, please, can you be getting Safeway on the phone about this? I want to try to verify this. Can you call a Safeway? Like, just, like, call the... quit acting like it's such a chore. Did you see, if you just, like, call Safeway at, like, wherever. Like, 39th and, like, 39th and Powell, right there. Call the one right by the Swingers Club. Just call there and just see what the deal is. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, this is Laura.
Hi.
Okay, so Saturday, Safeway, Dairy Glen in Vancouver, $1.59 per gallon.
So it's $1.59 per gallon where?
At the Safeway in Salmon Creek in Vancouver.
All right. Excellent. All right, thank you.
Sure.
All right. Well, the humor's run out of that bit pretty quickly. All right, now it's just people calling up and saying a number on the air. You know, this was KPAN. We could fill hours and hours with that. Should call Tom Parker and suggest that. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right. There you go. So just in case you joined us late, we just spent 10 minutes talking about literally, I swear to God, the price of milk in Portland. So there you go. I don't even know. I don't know. I know the prices of appallingly few things. All I know is when they have those... All I know is when Safeway has their 2-for-1 Triscuit sales. That's it. I know that. I know the price of Pop-Tarts. That's about the extent of my knowledge. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, it's been a long time since I listened to the show at home. That Striper song shook the rafters. It was fan-freaking-tastic. There's something to be said for listening at home and something to be said for your new studio. Perhaps I will just quit my job and listen to the show here every day. Lucky the gas station around the corner carries my Viso. Rock on. That's Jack. All right, So, Scotty, do we have, and we'll get these calls here in a second, and then I got some more email to get through, and then we might as well play this hideous Portland thing here in a second. Now, are we getting, is it Jim Roop who's supposed to be calling us at this point?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not wrong about that. I don't think. All right. You know, at one point, at some point, we got to get like a talkback system between us and.
Who are we trying to talk to?
Well, we're trying to get to it. Let me just do this.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except.
I was gonna do going to do a little bit of business. I was going to do it later, but I'll do it now. Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
There's a little business I was going to take care of later on with Scotty, but I might as well do it now. And then, because there's no sense, this is the worst time of the hour to break, so there's no point in breaking here. We'll just go late, and we'll just punish people later. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick at rickemerson.com. Are these milk calls, Scotty?
I couldn't tell you because they all came in just like that, and I was right in the middle of getting ready to dial for the Safeway. So
are you for the
I think
Safeway?
The one guy, his name is Rich. That's all I got out of here.
Are you wearing a shirt with a turntable on it?
Yes.
Is this part of your belated effort to try to convince us that you're into DJing the party?
Well, he doesn't even use a turntable.
You don't even use it. Why don't you just have a shirt with a picture of a hard drive on it, and then you're just sleeping in a chair while the party happens?
Well, I got to thinking about that yesterday.
We had asked you to DJ. I was under the impression you were actually a DJ. You're not, because a DJ implies disc.
And that's where you're wrong.
Please to tell me.
Why does it matter that I carry in cartons and cartons of CDs and sit there and waste your time?
But you don't. You use a hard drive.
Well, think about this. You're the person who's paying me to perform for you and have music at your event, right?
Yes.
You don't want me sitting there looking, oh my gosh, where's this Prince song or where's this song here? I can find it immediately, and it's taken me like a good 2 years to amass all the music I have on the hard drive.
Let me ask you this.
For that convenience.
This is actually not even why we brought you in here. Because
okay.
Now, listen, here's what we'll do, though. We'll take these calls here in a second. We'll talk to you about this party. We have something else I'm going to ask you about here in a second. Don't forget, Listener Party 10, Thursday, April 19th, featuring a special mystery guest. Special mystery guest being flown, and a mystery guest identity is so fantastic, so amazing. Were I to reveal it now, you wouldn't even be able to make it the next day. You would hyper yourself into a lather, into a foam, into a frenzy, and then you would pass out, die in a pool of your own sputum.
Is it Don Imus?
Yes, it is.
Oh, boy.
We really should.
We could probably get him.
At this point? Yes, yeah, seriously. For like a gin and tonic, we could probably get him. I'm Animal Fly On. All right. He's in the ranch now. We'd just go kidnap him. He wouldn't put up much of a struggle. So we got a special mystery guest. Emerson Starship is going to be performing. We still got to talk about that. Emerson Starship is going to be performing Hit Me Baby, which is a hard rock and Britney Spears cover band. They got a great logo, by the way. I saw their MySpace page. Those are the Hit Me Baby guys. That's fantastic. Great logo. Those guys are going to be there. We've got some greetings from friends and family of the Rick Emerson Show going all the way back to almost the very beginning. Again, the mystery guest, Sarah, is going to be there. Tim, myself, Scotty, cast of thousands. It's just all kinds of wackiness.
Can we have Scotty call CNN now to see where Jim is?
We'll do that here. Yes, we will do that here in just a second. We had asked you last week if you wanted the DJ, and I'm over it now. I'm resigned to the fact that we have to get somebody else, so that's fine.
I told you yesterday it was an equipment issue, but now that they have the equipment.
We had to grind you into it. You're acting like it's a big freaking drag. My question is, and I don't mean to bust on you as a so-called DJ, as an alleged DJ, but my question to you is, and I mean this really sincerely, if you have no turntables, if you're not doing whatever, it's just you with a hard drive, what is the discernible advantage? Like, if I was having a bar mitzvah or whatever, the wedding, why would I not just take my iPod and just stick the cable in, bam? Because it's filled with my music, so presumably it's stuff I like. Yeah, I hit play, I go and I just and I enjoy it, and I save whatever, how many $100.
Right. Well, good point.
I'm not trying to be combative. I really am curious about that.
I have an answer for it.
Okay.
And the reason is, number one, you're an MC. You keep the crowd going. You talk to people. There's DJs out there that just flat out just sit with their heads down, and maybe they play turntables or CDs, but they don't have any character to them.
What do you say to the people? How do you talk to the crowd? Give me an example of how you work the crowd. You can't do it.
Scotty J was just pretending in his booth earlier to be a KUFO jock.
Is that true?
He knows what he's doing.
Oh my God, was that true?
KUFO with Scotty J. My God, we got Sarah X Dillon as our guest coming up today. Anyways, I don't know what I would say. I would say something
okay,
like,
stop.
"All right,
let's stop. Okay, let's stop and hold on. Let's get stopped then now.
I'm gonna answer this question real fast.
No. Just here's what we're gonna do. I'll tell you what you're gonna do first,
okay.
And then what order you're gonna do it. Let's have no doubts about that. Were you pretending to be a KUFO jock in your booth earlier?
Yes.
Why?
Because the door was open for KUFO and, uh-huh. and we could hear them loud and clear, and Sarah was walking by and we both kind of realized that we could hear them loud and clear down the hall because their door was open.
Yeah, they're there every day.
She's like, you should try that, and so I did right there on the spot for her.
Do you have designs on being an FM DJ?
Do I have designs on being an FM DJ? I've thought about it in the past, but I'm kind of liking this talk thing. I never thought of this as a career ever.
All right,
talking on
the
radio.
I would still take some time to consider it before you really set your mind to it.
Let me sum up your DJ thing in like 2 sentences.
All right, yeah, no, and then I'm going to ask you to demonstrate it. So what's sum up the DJ thing? What is different about you playing something off an iPod or a hard drive, and then me at a party just playing something off an iPod?
Because if that particular song isn't at the right moment on your CD that you're playing off your iPod or your CD, it's not going to work. So I try to keep the flow going and people are kind of leaving because they hate this song. I can kind of fade out of that right away and get something else that makes them turn around and go, oh my God, I love this song. And I can talk to them and I can go, that's right. You know, I'm kind of corny in a way when I do it.
Really?
But, sucker.
But it's funny because people laugh. They think it's funny. Uh-huh. They want that. They're paying for the cornball.
Uh-huh. So,
the cornball.
Give an example now. Do you have your laptop here?
I do.
Does it have an eighth-inch output, like a microphone output?
No. What I do is I go into a thing that converts it to RCA.
But, I mean, that eventually goes... we have RCA input here. We have RCA input on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm not sure if it'll work because I have this converter thing that goes from the USB... Then it's
and it goes
female
out to,
RCA.
It goes out to female, right, and then?
Then I take another cord from that are male RCAs into the
board. And do you have those here?
No, but you can use the... I do have one that you can use. You can use the earphone deal.
All right, great. I'll have Jeff McGinley hook you up in here. And we'll have you rock a party in here for a few minutes. And we'll see. Well, no, because there, if you can't do it for 3 people in this room, mm-hmm. how could you possibly do it for hundreds?
You could do it, Scotty J.
What sorts of
pick
things,
some of your favorite tunes.
What sorts of things do you say to the crowd to get them worked up?
Well, see, that's... I hate this when you put me on the spot like this, because it's...
You're
like
on those hands together.
Everybody clap.
Leave room for the Holy Spirit while dancing.
Do the chicken dance now.
Do you play the chicken dance?
You know, I've had a request for that maybe in 5 years, twice.
But what, seriously, what are some of your go-to phrases to get the party rocking?
Let's see.
This is magic. I can see why people pay hundreds of dollars for this.
I don't know. It's just like, all right, you know, coming on. Hey, you're not going to believe this. We had a request for this song. That's right. And, hey, it's Casey and the Sunshine Band. Love this song. You know, something like that. They just start drinking and going,
stop breaking character.
God.
Yeah, you're not being Scotty J the DJ right now. We want to hear Scotty J the DJ.
I thought you were wanting me to explain.
I'm just saying, okay, here, let me ask you this. You simulate now for me, coming out of one song, working up the crowd a little bit, going into another song. Go.
All right, Prince, Purple Rain, unbelievable. We have this request. You're not going to believe who this is. This is Casey and the Sunshine Band. We're going to disco it up all night long. Unbelievable fun. Aren't we having fun here? Okay, stop. So you see it's so corny? Don't look at me like it's corny. And then I'll give them the old wink and the finger, and they'll laugh.
I'll give them the wink, and I give them the finger.
No, the index finger, that is.
How's your woodcock doing? Oh, my darling little woodcock.
Fantastic.
I don't know. I mean,
I honestly don't know. This is either a fantastic idea or a terrible idea. I really...
It's hard to sit here and explain to you what you say at a live event.
You just let the artist use his tools.
That's what happens, you know.
The artist is the tool. I really don't know whether we
worry
should
worry about it because you nixed me from the deal, right?
I just don't know. I mean, it really is kind of tempting to do. As I said, there's all kinds of people in the audience. We know that in the audience. I've heard from actually DJs, guys with the turntables and who do the mixing and they kind of slice and dice and they do whatever.
It does seem
like there might be a certain little energy, might be a certain little vibe to you DJing the party though. I hate to do like a stupid Insta poll kind of a thing, and that probably wouldn't be the deciding factor. But I think just to get a pulse of the audience, just to see kind of how to take the audience's temperature on this,
I think
we might do an Insta poll. Just to see whether or not people want you to DJ the party. And again, it's not American Idol. That's not going to make the decision, but I think we might do it just to get the people's temperature on this.
Okay.
Let me clear these phone calls out. And then in the next break, which we're not going to take quite yet, I'm going to have you see if we can track down Jim Roop. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Tim.
Hi.
Hey, I think the big thing here is that we found the person that was stupid enough to buy milk for $3 a gallon. You know, every store's got it for $1.98. They have this row for the stupid people.
Totally. It's like at the liquor store where there's Captain Morgan's and on top, and then down below, you know, and then down below there's Admiral Nelson's rum.
Yeah.
It's like four cents. Like
that. Yeah, and if, you know, as long as you're shopping, I mean, tuna is the same way. You can buy, you know, two for a buck, or you can buy one for a buck.
That is true. No, that is true.
Stupid people can do the $3. I always wondered who bought that stuff, and I guess we found one.
Now we know. It's all right. Thank you, sir. All right. Yeah.
Quickly, I can answer the milk question. A caller called in, and he said, go to the Safeway.com website, put in your zip code, and go to page 6, and it'll tell you the price of the milk right there.
All right. Okay, thank you. Rick, I thought there was a repeat showing of the PBS Jonestown show tonight at 3 o'clock, but I looked at the TiVo and there are no upcoming showings. It looks like it must have been this morning at 3, so you're screwed. Good luck with that. All right, thank you. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Oh.
Hi.
Hey, I'm sorry, I'm a little off topic here, but I don't have the internet. I don't have an address for Barracudas, and I haven't heard you guys give that out yet.
It is at 9 Northwest 3rd, sir, right downtown off Burnside. 9 Northwest 3rd, no cover.
Excellent. Are there any close by hotels to stumble to that I should look into?
Because
I'm in Vancouver.
There's a brand new hotel that just opened. It's not right nearby.
Oh, the Ace Hotel?
The Ace Hotel, which is right by Powell's. It's like on 10th Houses. What? 10?
That's where Tom Hanks' son is staying during the filming of his movie.
The Ace?
Yes.
The Ace might be a little spendy. It's not like really expensive, but it's not a Motel 6 either, but it's a really, really cool hotel. There's an Ace Hotel in Seattle that I stayed at a lot, and this is the new Portland branch of that. It's called the Ace Hotel. It's right by Powell's. You should check that out. I haven't stayed at the one in Portland, but it's probably pretty cool.
We're all looking into that. I'd rather spend money than get robbed or stabbed or anything.
I'm with you, sir.
All right. Thank you,
sir. All right.
Yeah, and that will happen every night in Vancouver.
I was going to say.
A little break from that.
It's just the music will be better here in Portland while you're being robbed. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Chuck.
Hi, Chuck.
Hey, I wanted to tell Scotty I've got a great idea for a new business.
Okay.
Okay, Mobile VJ. I come to your house with my own universal remote. And for a couple hundred bucks, I keep the videos going.
Seriously, I'll just sit and change the channel for you, and then we'll charge you at the end of the night.
That's right.
Occasionally going, hey, isn't American Idol great? Woo!
You don't get to watch anything that they want to watch.
Yeah.
It's all Scotty J. He wants to watch.
Yeah, he'll pick the TV shows for you, and then he's going to go, hey, how about Steve Carell on The Office? Woo! That's it. And then he'll give you like a bill for $400. Fantastic, sir. Thank you.
All right.
All right, so, yes?
The bottom line is...
What is the bottom line, Scotty J?
After almost 6 years of being in business, I've never had a complaint. I've had massive repeat customers, so I must be doing something right.
Scotty, we're sure you're doing something right. Just try and do it right for us.
Seriously. I think this might be Jim Roop. Do you want to, Should I... Let's take a gamble.
It's him.
Either him or Laura Klein. Laura Kabizel.
Interrupting my Insta poll. All right, well, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, someone who I desperately hope is Jim Roop.
So happy that you called to me.
Hello, sir.
Hey, how are you?
Hi. What's up with you?
I didn't fool you, huh?
No, we thought it might have been Laura Kabizel.
Oh, no.
What time did she schedule you at, Jim?
What are you guys doing?
What?
Oh, this is my fault. I wanted to get off the cell phone.
Oh, I see. Oh, you wanted to be back in the studio.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I apologize.
Not at all. It's just sometimes when time shifts happen on your end, which we absolutely understand, because, again, you're very busy and you're working for CNN, sometimes those time shifts, just so people a little behind the curtain, sometimes we will say initially, well, hey, we'll talk to Ed McCarthy or Jim or Lisa or whoever at, let's say, 1 o'clock. Something happens. There's a fire. There's a story. There's somebody stuck in traffic. Phone didn't work. The call instead happens about 20 minutes later than it was originally planned. And then when Laura sees that the call happened 20 minutes later, she automatically assumes that we were just, like, screwing you guys somehow. And then we get, like, the long, angry tirade. So it's okay. It's all good.
Now, this was my fault. I apologize.
No, it's fine. You sound a little under the weather.
Just a little tired, maybe.
You sound a little hay. Did you get the hay fever?
No, I got the, hey, what the hell am I doing with American Idol fever?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Somebody's got Sanjaya fever. Woo! Yeah. So you were, now you had to be in the audience again? Or when you see the show, where do they put you?
I'm not in the auditorium, no.
So this is, where are you at?
I am in a room that is fed audio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So let me understand this. When you cover American Idol, you don't even get...
I might as well sit at home.
They just stick you in a closet somewhere with a speaker?
Yeah.
Dude, can I just say you sound so out of it today?
How great is that?
You sound terrible. No offense. You sound like you are clinging to consciousness.
No, there is some kind of funk going around my house, and I think I caught it.
All right. Well, fantastic. So Sanjaya gave, I guess, a not totally terrible performance, and will be there for another week.
You know, he actually sounded pretty good. He did Besame Mucho. I don't know if you know that tune or not, but
I don't.
It's a great tune. And when I was a jazz jock, we played that quite a bit. But it was well done, I thought, and I wasn't surprised at all when Paula Abdul and Randy Jackson thought it was pretty good, and it surprised me a little bit that Simon kind of got into it, but he got into it last week too. So.
Do you suppose they know at this point that they've been beating the he sucks drum for so long that to keep people guessing and interested, they got to change it up a little bit and be nice to him?
Yeah, a little bit, I think so, yeah. And this guy is eating it up, too. I think we talked last week that he's going to parlay this into kind of nice career.
He's easily the most famous contestant on that show.
Well, they called him the smartest one, that's for sure.
Well, you know, he's doing something right. I mean, I could not possibly care less about American Idol.
Oh, I thought you were right.
And I'm talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, you and I both, no one on this show except for Scotty watches it. You don't watch it, and yet we're all at least aware of it, and you and I are sitting here discussing it like 3 weeks running, so...
I find it funny when I'm there, and when the other entertainment reporters are going, wow, this is so groovy, and it's nice, and I can't wait to hear him sing this week, wonder what it's going to... shut up.
What other entertainment reporters are you referring to, Jim?
I'm not naming names. Well, what do you think about this week? I think I'd rather have a shot.
Fantastic. Good times.
I think I'd rather have dinner with Robert Blake.
You know, in a stunning segue, let's talk about Phil Spector, shall we?
Yeah.
So apparently his ex-girlfriend is going to be able to tell the jury about some time that he pulled a gun and waved it at her. Twice. Yeah.
And once she is either a shotgun or, as she puts it, a long rifle.
Okay.
She wanted to leave a party. And, you know, he wouldn't let her, didn't want her to go.
How is it that he had a rifle at a party?
Hey, it's Phil Spector. He's got firearms everywhere.
I suppose it's under his... And it's true. Is this true that he apparently... Now, I guess the officer won't be able to testify this, but he told a cop at one point, quote, women deserve to be shot, end quote.
Yeah, they deserve a bullet in the head. Was the rest of some of the rest of that quote.
He's quite a guy.
But no, the judge will not allow that. It's a retired New York cop. The judge will not allow that particular testimony.
Right.
But, you know, that's going to be tough because any jury pool is going to already know that, and it's been all over the news, that we're not going to let him say that in court.
Right.
But now that you've heard it before the trial begins, don't use it at all in your prejudice against...
Well, that never works when they tell the jury to disregard something. That never works. Ever.
No, that's why lawyers risk... sanctions, or they risk contempt charges or objections and have something stricken, because once it's out there, man, it's out there.
Oh, yeah.
What's that stupid saying people say, you can't unring a bell?
That's exactly what
they
exactly.
Be stupid and say that, because you can't. That was said a lot during the Jackson. Can't unring a bell? Yeah, no crap, you can't unring a bell. But yeah, what did that have to do with anything?
You're going to put that in a fortune cookie.
Yeah.
No crap, you can't unring a bell. What are you, freaking stupid? Fortunes by Jim Roop.
Speaking of stupid, I'm working on some, trying to figure out what to do with Friday the 13th pieces.
When is that? Is that Friday. This Friday?
Got an idea what I might do, but it's...
Friday the 13th.
Yeah, find some stupid superstition to get somebody to do.
It's like a whole journalist, like getting somebody to walk under a ladder?
I did that last year.
Let's see. You could get somebody to break a mirror.
I did that, too.
Black cat?
I'm not allergic to cats, and I hate them.
I'm sorry, I'm failing you.
So I'm not good. I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. It was just, the word stupid came out of my mouth, and I realized the next assignment I have is Friday the 13th.
Maybe you should just walk around town and interview people while wearing a hockey mask.
That's a great idea.
Or maybe just not even interview them. Just
I got it. That's a great idea.
Stand on a corner and just stare at people while wearing a hockey mask and like a suit and tie.
With my clothes inside out, because that's supposed to bring you good luck. I'm going to wear my clothes inside out.
While wearing a hockey mask.
I'm standing on the corner. That'll be interesting.
When's the last time you...
wonder how many cops will roll by.
When's the last time you had a good night's sleep?
1980.
All right. I can't even conjure up the energy to talk about this IMUS thing, so we'll just call it.
Oh, why not? What about the IMUS thing? Some of the African-American leaders here are now saying, let's leave the guy on the air. This could work for us.
Well, first of all, I didn't even know Al Sharpton had a radio program until yesterday.
Neither did I.
It's one of those things that I guess it's been on somewhere.
Apparently a real good one.
Yes. Apparently it's just the record ratings.
Ooh.
You think they would have learned by now that the way to get rid of a celebrity you don't like is to look away for 15 minutes, and this is going to result in IMUS having more listeners, more attention, more ratings, more revenue, more money than he's had since 1985, probably.
Yeah, well, a lot of the he's not really carried in L.A. Some little radio station in Riverside carries him, but in fact, that's where he grew up, from what I understand, and where he was born.
Right.
But he's not really heard in L.A. except on MSNBC. So now a lot of the African-American leaders here are saying, well, he seems pretty sincere in his apology, so maybe he'll start a trend in more responsible presentation of opinions and views. Let's leave him on the air. Maybe this will work for us. The community will benefit more if he's on the air.
Yeah,
IMUS is going right on.
It's not going to be the end of his career, and it's not going to be the end of his friend. He just makes too much money for CBS for that to be the case.
What did they say, $20 million?
That's just a radio show, too. You add on the TV show, and it's like 40.
Son, how much does he get of that?
Man, I don't even, I can't imagine, but his back-end deal has got to be huge. It's got to be massive.
He's got nice hair.
I mean, you think he could afford some better hair? I was thinking he looks like Ms. Grundy from the Archie comics. Just totally looks like, like a lot of bad steel wool matted onto his skull. That's what that looks like.
He needs his eyebrows trimmed.
It doesn't really seem like there's going to be a kinder, gentler day dawning in broadcast journalism at any point, though.
His brother, Fred, is a lot funnier than he is. Fred works on some little station in Arizona.
Fred, he does a terrible midday show, and he's got an auto body repair place.
He's funny.
Yeah, he sounds drunk about half the time.
I think he is. That's what makes him funny.
All right, my brother.
Well, I like him, I guess.
I
have another beer.
Best Jim Roop ever. Have good luck with finding the hockey mask. Are you going to be on then on Friday?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yeah, they won't let me off on Friday the 13th.
Of course not. So, all right, clothing inside out, hockey mask on, staring, making passersby uncomfortable. The Jim Roop story.
It'll be interesting.
Fantastic, my brother.
The Jim Roop story.
We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
You're my favorite, man.
Thank you. I love you, man.
I'll see you later.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Jim Roop. High as a kite. Jesus. That guy sounded loaded to you. Back after this with Tim Riley. Stay there. Show. It's 503-733-2970. Just a few moments, we'll talk to Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com. Then Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, we have Tom Likas at 3, Donna Mike at 7. We'll do this top 5, this terrible sound thing. We'll talk more about the business of Scotty J, about which I am deliberately... I'm deliberately taking this slowly because it could just be a... This could go either way. I just don't know. Oh, wait. Here, somebody sent me this, here we go. Rick, crucifixion video. Fantastic. All right, I'll look at that later. It's 503-733-2970. Real quickly, let's get, let's see, this is Boba. Hello, sir.
Yeah. Can you page Scotty J? I have a quick question for him.
For the love of... All right.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Now in the studio, intrepid PA Scotty J. Hello, sir.
Hey.
Hi, apparently there's a question for you.
Scotty, it seems like every opportunity they give you to be the DJ, you seem to have some sort of an excuse, you know, a reasoning as to why you can't do it. And you feel like the audience is going to turn on you, but yet you've said you've done a school of children. I think a school of children would be more frightening than the Emerson audience.
I
never once said I was scared of the Emerson audience.
You are.
Great.
You are.
You wouldn't be acting the way you were if you weren't scared.
No, I absolutely am not scared. What I am.
See, here's the thing is you can't
concerned
say that. You can't be
about the type of music they would want to hear. I'm concerned.
But how many top fives have you sat through? How many, you know, callers have called in with songs that they've wanted Rick to replay or bits and pieces that Rick's played or that Sarah's pulled up that everyone's called, "Oh, I love this. What is this?" That should give you some input.
Right, and I appreciate that. The type of music that
Rick listen to this. Okay, hold on. Just stop for a second. I got to point this out. You can hear
that's
this.
A tick that he always does, and I appreciate that.
And you know what that is? That's a little sales guy thing. That is the, and I appreciate that. And that's a little subtle thing that he says right before he completely changes topics and then says something and completely disregards whatever it is
we're
you said.
We're on you, Scotty Joe.
Hey, I appreciate that observation. Now, you are completely incorrect. That's what that is. Okay, well, finish your sentence.
Well, I told you we could get some more advertising for right. The show. I'll do that someday for you.
Well, finish your thought. You said you appreciate his comment, but...
I do appreciate his comment. However, the majority of the music that the Rick Emerson audience likes, I would have to get because I don't have that. My stuff is mainly, you know, top 40 and disco for weddings. I don't have the, you know, the gut-wrenching metal rock that the Emerson audience loves.
Do you really talk this way in your everyday life?
No.
He talks that way and then he gives the finger.
That's the new one of the day.
All right. Fantastic. This is probably Mr. Skin. Well, if you want to go double check, that's Scotty. And by the way, thank you, Chris. And I would just say this. You're not going to get anywhere by getting on the air and saying in a loud, strident, chest-thumping voice that you're, quote, not afraid of the Rick Emerson audience. Because if you do that, they're going to do something to make you afraid, sir. They will, as Gina Davis would say in The Fly, they will make you afraid. They will make you very, very afraid. All right, it's 503-733-2970. I think he's wrangling Mr. Skin right now because it's a whole... people call in and if Scotty is not in that room, the phones go on auto-answer. And then there's... and then people don't know if they're on hold or they don't know whatever. Rick, this female says, I really, really, really think Scotty J needs to be the DJ at Party 10, which is happening next Thursday, April 19th. Otherwise, I can picture him sitting at a table at the party, getting progressively more drunk and belligerent about how, quote, they're not doing it right, and they aren't doing the DJ patter correctly, etc. Ultimately, I could foresee him doing a shot of some bottom-barrel whiskey and standing up and trying to take over the sound equipment, but stumbling and busting through the equipment table and shrieking. If he does not DJ, it's going to be a weird scene. Aside from that, Scotty J needs to get his own morning show with a hyperactive co-host called Morning Drive with Wink and the Finger. Thank you. All right, it's 503... Oh, really? Okay. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, he's your president, your prophet, your seer, your revelator. I say making this introduction as long as humanly possible so as to telegraph Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Leave your keys in the car, we'll get to you next. We've all done that when dropping off our cars for service somewhere. Well, Mike McKell now regrets doing that. The Hazeldale Walmart in the Couve, much to his dismay, a thief got to his car next before the mechanic.
At a Walmart?
Yep, Walmart.
Oh.
In the Couve on Hazeldale.
Stunned.
The vehicle was found abandoned and damaged. So, who's at fault here? Walmart says, sorry, we're not responsible since he left the keys in the car, but he said he was just following Walmart's direction. Of course, he doesn't have the money because he lives in the Couve to hire an attorney to find him.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. It seemed like I swallowed my coffee incorrectly. Prison break star Elaine Garrison's arraignment on DUI and manslaughter charges postponed today in Beverly Hills.
His client does want to accept responsibility, says his attorney, and told the judge he's ready to do so May 21st. Meanwhile, the first season champ and Bravo's top design will be crowned tonight. Battling for the title, 26-year-old New Yorker Carissa and 32-year-old Chicago resident Matt. 36-year-old Los Angeles native Andrea, who finished third on the show, says she's pulling for Matt to win the big prize.
He had a really classic interior design. They had a very refined room. The furniture layouts are interesting. Great eye for detail.
I'm sorry, who is it? What show is this?
Top Design.
All right.
Oh, I thought it was another show. Well, it doesn't matter.
You thought it was America's Next Top Model.
I did.
As if I was curious when they started talking about the classic design and, like, spackle.
Now that I'm coming back down to earth, after my recent drug-induced slumber.
Yeah, what? Now, do you know what drug? Is it nitrous? Is it Novocaine?
It's two shots of Novocaine because the first one never works on me.
Now, is Novocaine, that doesn't make you loopy, it just makes you numb, right?
Numb, forgetful, and
oh, lethargic. Really? So it does have a forgetful and lethargic. The Tim Riley story. Does it? It does affect your mental acuity?
I guess so, because I thought this was a different show entirely. Now that I'm reading it 2 hours later, I'm wondering what's this about after I get into it.
So you thought it was America's Next Top Model, and it was a thing about how to repair a house.
Apparently so. I don't know. Well, let's.
There's a joke there somewhere about something needing lots of caulk.
Oh, that sounds like an NPR show I heard recently.
I don't really know what that joke would be, but it seems like it's there somewhere.
How's your woodcock doing? Oh, my darling little woodcock.
Fantastic. Here's Tim Riley.
Let's see here. Well, what I want is near anymore.
Now I don't even know. Now I don't even trust that it's the computer doing it. Now I think it may just be the Novocaine talking.
No. Things are going well a little while ago. Well, let's talk about this crime wave in Seattle. A pair of... No, you're right. Let's talk about this crime wave in Salem.
So apparently it...
I think she put a little extra something in there.
It
makes me a little more cooperative.
Is it safe? So it has the added effect of obscuring your vision, apparently. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at Salem and seeing Seattle.
I'm also seeing all kinds of spelling mistakes, which I think are already in this copy. Trafficking. T-R-A-F-F-I-C-K-I-N-G?
That's correct. Because otherwise it would be trafficking. I think you add a K.
Right.
Now I don't even know.
Well, I'll take their word for it.
Is the paper covered in spiders that only you can see?
No.
Okay.
A pair of Salemmen are facing federal charges in trafficking counterfeit sunglasses. These are knockoffs of the Oakley sunglasses sold over the internets. The prosecutor has charged Kirk W. Batchelor and Kevin T. McAfee. Apparently, both these guys met their supplier at a trade show in Vegas in 2004. Yu Chu imported sunglasses and accessories from China. Chu owns Universal Novelty Trading Company in New York. He's also charged. Prosecutors allege the Salem men paid Mr. Chu at least $169,000 for fake sunglasses and then sold them on the internet. Oakley sunglasses, known for their sleek, sporty look. They design their eyewear often retails for $100 or more.
Really? Even in 2007, I thought Oakleys were totally a thing of the past. I thought Oakleys got left behind, like, in the 90s. I will always equate Oakleys with, like, Varney and Guess Jeans and Brian Bosworth and that whole era. All right.
A Los Angeles judge held several motions yesterday regarding evidence that will be admissible in the Phil Spector murder trial. Spector's attorney Roger Rosen says he's disappointed that the judge will allow testimony from a woman who alleges Spector pointed a gun at her a number of years ago.
This kind of evidence is very salacious. It's very seductive. From our point of view, it really gets the jurors thinking about something other than what they're here for. And that's why the prosecution wants it. They know this. It's always better to try what I would call a clean case without this kind of evidence.
You know, if you look at Phil Spector, he's got the same hair that Don Imus has. It's just a different color. He's got that weird straight hair that goes down and, like, wraps his skull in some sort of weird clingy page boy.
Meanwhile, a 30-year decline in the number of baby boys born in industrialized countries may be an indicator of the ever-increasing male reproductive health problems. A recent study headed by Dr. Deber Lee Davis at the University of Pittsburgh shows the birth weight rate of white males in the United States has dropped from an average of 105 to 104 in every 100 females born. That's only one less, so what's the big deal? Davis explains why it's important for more boys to be born than more girls.
A healthy population requires more boys to be born because fewer of them will survive.
Sir, just not enough wars.
and into older age. A sex ratio of slightly more boys than girls has been a healthy characterization of the human species for some time.
Good God. Imagine that's your life, is you're sitting in a room reading through reams of data and studying that kind of thing. Good God almighty.
What else are they doing in Pittsburgh?
Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Rick, here's why having Scotty J DJ the party is a terrible, terrible idea. It has nothing to do with whatever mad skills, with a Z, he may or may not possess. It's just a setup for failure. Your audience will eat him alive. It's like asking the mascot from the rival school to perform at your school's pep rally. Your audience will chew Scotty J up and spit him out just for sport. I'm almost reluctant to read this email because now it seems like we're programming them to do this. And I'm not doing that. And no one wants to watch a 40-year-old man weep in the corner. Actually, that's not true. Your audience would love to watch that. And that's why Scotty should not be allowed to DJ the party.
I'm sure he's way tougher crowds.
I'm just saying. He does maybe have a valid point about his music library. I keep meaning to. Maybe we'll do it next hour. The guys in Emerson Starship, I won't reveal it on the air, but they put together their tentative set list, which is fantastic, by the way. But I think maybe next hour we'll talk a little bit about them. I do want to talk a little bit about stuff that they shouldn't play, stuff that they should not be on the list. And it's probably the same with DJing, too. I don't know. I can see, I mean, I think we can all see this, actually. I can see Scotty busting out like a bunch of Casey and the Sunshine Band and the audience just storming the booth and just setting him on fire. I can actually see, which, you know, who knows? That might be worth coming to the party right there. This is Jesse. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, if Scotty's worried about the music selection, just everybody email in some suggestions for music so he could have it on hand.
I suppose, although if we do that, then it begs the question of what do we need him to be up there for? Like, why everybody should just... That's a great idea.
You bring a hard drive full of CDs full of music and just pop it in the player.
No. This is a good idea. Hold on. I'm forming this idea. You're hearing it happen as we speak. You hear it now.
You should play the popcorn bit.
Fine. Jesus. Hold on. All right. What about this? Screw Scotty. What if we do this? What if we have some sort of a website or something set up? I'm thinking this through on the air live. You have to forgive me. Where the audience themselves can send or upload individual MP3s. That they would like to hear his house music at the party, and from that, we create a custom mix that then plays, thus allowing the audience themselves to vote on and create the set list for the house music.
Why doesn't everyone just bring an iPod and listen?
And ignore us. Why don't you hand him out of the door? Why doesn't everybody just stay home and listen to the stereo instead and get really drunk in the privacy of their living room with that Kelly girl? All right. I don't know. There's something there. That might almost be an interesting idea. I don't even know if that's technically feasible or not.
Oh, no, it's feasible, but you might want to check with the lawyers before you try to have people start uploading you music.
No, that's true. That's true. I wonder if we could argue that this was some kind of fair use or something, because we're a radio station. We pay royalties. No, that's probably broadcast only. I don't know. There's something there, though. Something about letting the audience create the set list. I like the way I think, Rick Emerson. All right. Thank you, Jesse.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. That's right. Forget Scotty. Just have everybody come and listen to a Walkman all night. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, somebody else at CBS is in hot water. CBS News producer has been fired, and the network apologized after Katie Couric's video essay on libraries was found to be plagiarized in the Wall Street Journal.
This is the best week ever for CBS.
Why on earth is she running a story about libraries? Well, the essay was removed from the CBS website, and an editor's note posted saying the item should have been credited.
I'm just
running out of steam here. Should have credited Jeffrey Glasso of the Journal. The essays are carried regularly on Couric and Company, the anchor's blog, on the CBS website. This story is tremendously boring.
Well, except that
Couric and the producers meet once a week to decide on topics, and the producers rate them for Couric to read on camera.
So she doesn't even read it herself. What do you suppose?
Look, well, she's home being a mother.
I hate to start channeling the Bobs, but Katie, what would you say you do here? Seriously, she doesn't write her own essays. She apparently doesn't write her own news. She clearly shouldn't be allowed to dress herself. She leans on a desk, which groans audibly under the strain, I might add.
It creaks.
You're just leaning at look. I mean, I understand that she's an attractive woman and all for her age and whatnot, but this is television, baby. You're going to drop a few stones. What is it she does? I mean, does she just sit there?
I don't know. I'll have to watch it. Which channel is that on?
I don't know. It's C something. Anyway, so she doesn't even write her own essays. Well, clearly the person who writes her essays doesn't even write the essays. It was stolen. Good God. Best CBS week ever. I really do try to be a team player, but come on. There are times when they make it very difficult to have solidarity. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's do one more and we'll give Tim a small break here.
All right. Then I get to start getting ready for Lycus in the news. I wonder what that's going to sound like.
There's only one way to find out, kids. Listen to Tim Riley at 4, 5, 6, and 7 o'clock tonight.
Larry Burke had said he won't share Daniel Lynn. How selfish. He is ready and willing, if not yet able, to begin his tour of daddy duty. A day after being declared the biological father of 7-month-old Daniel Lynn, Burkhead took to the airwaves to share his joy and prove his single parenting metal, I guess. While the 34-year-old photographer had a major...
Funny part is, at the beginning of the show, you could read and speak properly. It's just the Novocaine meant that you couldn't really enunciate.
Yes.
But you could put together sentences correctly. Mm-hmm. Now your voice is back to normal, but you can no longer speak.
That is strange, isn't it?
It's like you've traded off one ability for the other as the show has gone along. I love this show. I love everything about it.
So that should be considered a whole story, shouldn't it?
Oh, my darling little woodcock.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, nothing. I'll keep going. While the 34-year-old photographer had a major victory in the courts of both the Bahamas and public opinion yesterday, he has yet to be awarded custody of the child with Anna Nicole Smith. Something he is willing yet again to fight for, and something which he will not share. Burkhead has added, "It was great to no longer be known as the man who claimed he's the father of Daniel Lynn. I'm actually the father," said he. The honor seems to have passed to another candidate who has come out surprisingly strong in support of his former rival, Howard K. Stern. He's already made himself a vocal member of the team of Burkhead, giving the legal adversity of the past year a hug outside the courtroom.
Team Burkhead. I bet that looks good on a velour running suit.
Yeah, Team right. Burkhead.
Let's be done.
I think that's about enough.
I've had it up to here with this news. Let's take a break. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Then we'll do some other things. I'm going to give Tim's poor brain a rest. 503-733-2970. Around the corner, top five. More Scotty J. Likas at 3. Don and Mike at 7. Stay.